Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Visible by Numbers on beautifulbbsradio.com. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. This is your host, Allison, and I'm more than delighted, possibly bordering on ecstatic, to say that my guest this evening is Neil Donald Walsh. I really cannot imagine that he needs much of an introduction, as most of you are familiar with his work. I know that I have been receiving an onslaught of emails all day long from our listening audience, and everyone seems to be pretty excited to have this opportunity to connect to him. And I've got to say, it's hard, if not impossible, to put into a short introduction the size and the scope of Neil's work, but let me give it a try here. Neil Donald Walsh is a renowned spiritual teacher, an author of more than 25 books, and the subject of the movie Conversations with God. His book, Conversations with God, Book 1, remained on the New York Times bestseller list for 137 weeks, and it is now published in 37 languages. The books that followed also became bestsellers. He is the founder of the Conversations with God Foundation, which is described as a nonprofit organization dedicated to inspiring the world to help itself move from violence to peace, from confusion to clarity, and from anger to love. Neil's work has been instrumental in changing our understanding of God in order to change our lives and the world that we live in. And I'm trying not to be long-winded in this introduction, but I have to speak from my heart and say that I still recall the day that I read Conversations with God, Book 1, and it really brought me to tears more times than I can count, because it validated my feelings about God, which I had been struggling with probably since early childhood, and how I felt was in such opposition to what I had been taught. And I was absolutely amazed that I found my very thoughts and words written into the pages of that book. Neil's book was instrumental in my own personal spiritual journey. So I am just incredibly happy to introduce Neil Donald Walsh. Hi, Neil, and welcome to the show.
Well, hello. It's nice to be here, and thank you for that very kind introduction. It's lovely to be spending this time with you.
I got to tell you that I must be pretty good at this process of personal creation thing, or how you put it in the new book, Happier Than God, because I can't think of any way that I would rather spend the next hour than with you. And on so many levels, I know that I created this experience, and I just really want to thank you for being part of my creation.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Okay, well, I want to let our listeners know that we will be eventually opening up the lines for their questions or comments for Neil. But I'm going to be discussing a few things with Neil first, so they want to bear with me. And then when I give the numbers, certainly they'll open up the lines and you'll all be able to call into the show. Okay, Neil, let's kind of begin from the beginning, because you know, in a lot of what you've already told us, you've shared with us the circumstances of your life prior to writing Conversations with God. You know, life wasn't kind. You had a fire, a broken marriage, not to mention a broken neck. You were unemployed, and I would guess that things were described beyond difficult. My question here is, do you ever step back to the days before Conversations with God and kind of look in amazement at the journey that your own soul has taken?
Yes, of course. Yes, many times. And I'm very grateful, and I'm deeply humbled, and I feel just so very aware of how extraordinary the shift has been that has taken place in my life, and I would wish this kind of a shift and this kind of a change in the lives of everyone who learns of and understands the biggest secret of life itself. You know, it's been my experience that I spent 50 years living a life of a case, really, living a case of mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that most people are living such a case of mistaken identity. And I think that once we shift and become aware of who we really are and what we're really doing here, then the kinds of changes you're talking about that occurred in my life can really potentially occur in the lives of everyone. If I didn't believe that, I would never be talking about this material as I do from time to time and place to place and on radio programs such as yours.
Right, right. Well, I think, I don't know, one of the things that I was going to bring up next has to do with what I kind of feel is a major shift. I mean, it's almost like it's happening rather quickly in people's lives. Just recently, I read an article that had to do with a survey that was taken from Penn State University, and it has to do with our perception of religion, our perception of God. And it said that more than one quarter of American adults have left the faith of their childhood for another religion or no religion at all. That one in four adults ages 18 to 29 claim no affiliation with a religious institution. And that in the past, certain religions had real holding power where people from one generation to the next would stay. But right now there's a dropping in confidence in organized religion, especially in the traditional religious forms. And I know both you and I have similar backgrounds, being raised as Catholics and probably not our authentic selves. And I was wondering, you know, I think a lot of what you said is along the lines of what's happening with a lot of people is they're changing their perception. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts. Had you seen that recent survey?
I haven't seen this survey, but I'm not at all surprised by the statistics. As you may know, I wrote a book a couple of years ago called What God Wants,
mm-hmm.
which deals primarily with what we're discussing here and addresses the main reasons why there has been such a change in the perspective of so many people around the subject of God. I think mm-hmm. that the mistake that people have made in the past is thinking that we knew everything there is to know about God, that there's nothing further to know, that all of the information is in, all the data is in hand, and there are no further questions to ask and no further answers to be given.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to now move forward with what we know on this subject. The difficulty with that is that what we know has been broken down and parsed and divided into so many different messages. There's the Catholic message, and there's the Presbyterian message, and there's the Jewish message, and there's the Baptist message, and the Islamic message, and so on and so forth. And there must be, in fact, around 247 known religions on the planet right now, and an equal number of holy scriptures. And so, and it wouldn't be so bad if that was the beginning and the end of it, but the difficulty is that in many cases, although not in every case, but in many cases, the scriptures of those various religions, or at least the doctrinal point of view of those religions, is that if you don't believe in a particular religion, if you don't embrace a particular theology, you're not going anywhere. Or worse yet, you are going somewhere, but it's not going to be heaven.
Right, right, exactly.
And so I think what's happening here as we move into the 21st century is that people are just getting to the point where they no longer can accept what is primarily I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but what would appear, at least from a distance, to be kind of a childish point of view
mm-hmm.
about God,
mm-hmm.
holding the idea of God as some sort of a dictating father figure who requires us, who first of all sent us away from him for reasons that aren't entirely clear,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly, having nothing to do with our lives, by the way, we were so apparently born in original sin.
Yes, I know.
And then having separated us from him, requires us to come back to him, but along a particular path, the correct one of which he will not tell us. He's kind of, well, guess. It's kind of a game of a Russian roulette or religious roulette, if you please.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pick, it's kind of like pick a book, any book, and if you pick the wrong one, you're going to hell, and if you pick the right one, well, voila, you struck it rich, and you're on your way back to heaven. And
right.
So I think that most people, not all people, but many, many people now are saying, you know what, it just can't be that way.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something we don't fully understand here about God and about life,
right.
The understanding of which would change everything.
Right.
And I think that's why you're seeing this spate of extraordinary documents that are coming now through, not just the Conversations with God books, but wonderful other books as well from extraordinary voices in contemporary spiritual literature like Eckhart Tolle and others, Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Marianne
sure.
Williamson and Gary Zukav and the like,
right.
each of whom are really saying essentially the same thing through their own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was asked by Matt Lauer on the Today Show on NBC a few years ago. Matt said, you know, Neil, you claim to have been speaking with God. Can you give us God's message to the world? We don't have much time left in our interview, about 30 seconds. what would it be? And I said, well, you know, Matt, I can put it to you in 5 words. Here's God's message to the world in 5 words. You've got me all wrong.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You know what you were saying there, I honestly was a child I can remember sitting in the middle of a Catholic church. One that we went to was almost like a cathedral. And I had been enrolled in parochial school since kindergarten. And I can remember sitting there and thinking to myself as I listened to the homilies and as I listened to the sermons, I can remember thinking, well, it doesn't really seem fair that, you know, if a nice Jewish boy gets born in a nice Jewish family and he honors his mother and father, and he studies and does, you know, everything that has to do with their religion, or if someone's born in a Baptist or a Protestant, it doesn't matter, and they honor their parents and they study their religion and they grow up trying to be good people and live the best possible lives that they can, that simply because their parents had the wrong religion, that they are going to go to hell. And I kind of, from an early age, was rather angry with God because I thought, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to another person. And I can remember just almost like wanting to turn my back and say, you know, let me out of here because this just doesn't sound right to me. And I was a small child. And the more that I went to parochial school and the more that I was taught, the more confusing it got, and I began to think that I was a really bad person.
Well, you know, we all of us would like to imagine that God is at least as nice as our grandmother.
Yeah, wouldn't it be? Yes.
And so I think that what's happening now is that people are beginning to understand that not that religions have it all wrong, but that they simply do not have it all right.
There you go.
That there may be some data missing. I see that all the great religions of the world have enormous wisdom and truth embedded mm-hmm. within them. There's no question about that, or they wouldn't
right.
have lasted this long.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is there more to know on this subject? Is it possible that we just don't have all the data in yet? That's the only question that I've been asking people wherever I go. I'm not even trying to tell them what the right answers are, just is it possible that we don't have all the answers? And if you think the answer to that question might be yes, then the conversation is on.
Right.
Not just a conversation with God, but a conversation about God. And we can discuss it, like Joan Rivers says, can we talk? We can discuss it once again.
Right.
But if you're closed-minded enough to say, no, you don't understand, Neil, you just don't understand. All the questions have been asked, all the answers have been given, it's right there in the book. If that's your point of view, well, then I think our discussion is closed and there's nothing further to talk about. However, we may want to look at the world as it is today and see where that approach has gotten us.
Right. Well, I think, I don't know where I read it, but once I read somewhere in a book that, and it made an incredible amount of sense to me, that all these prophets and all these people came before Jesus and they told of, you know, religion and God and things to come. And the final part of this particular passage, it said, well, why are we so arrogant or why are we so foolish to think that God stopped talking to us, that he stopped sending prophets or people with messages? And, you know, and that really rang true to me, that why would we not acknowledge people that would come forth and say that I'm receiving messages and that there's a different way of thinking about these things. And also even the definition of what a fool is someone that absolutely thinks that they know it all, and they're not. Their minds are not open to learning, something new.
Yeah,
so
I think that it's a mistake to assume that God acquired a case of celestial laryngitis
yes, exactly.
at a certain point
it's
in
a good
time.
Good description.
What's interesting about the world's religions is this. Consider this for just a moment, and I would
sure.
like your listeners to consider this as well. All of the world's great religions are based on the understanding that God does, in fact, talk directly to human beings. Virtually every one of the major religions and a huge number of the minor ones are founded or based upon the teachings of a particular individual who in turn claims to have been communicated with directly by God. God handed the Ten Commandments down to Moses,
mm-hmm.
or in fact who claimed to have been God incarnate, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that God became human and that God has talked to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that religions say is, yes, that's right, God did reveal himself through Jesus, revealed himself to Moses, he revealed himself to the prophet Muhammad. But when that communication was complete, God shut up and he's not talked to another human being from that day to this.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
The fact of the matter is that God has revealed itself through human beings from the beginning of time and does so to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is very profound and something that, it really comes out very clearly in your books. One of the questions that I'm very curious about, I mean, I'm absolutely certain that you must have stopped counting by now the number of letters or messages that you've received from people that were inspired by your books. Do you keep track? Is it still coming? I mean, I know so many people that I've talked to about your books. I wrote Neil. I tried to communicate with Neil and things like that. Have you stopped counting? Do you still get responses?
We know for a fact that we've received over 100,000 emails and actual snail mail letters from the time that the book was first published. We were keeping track for about the first 8 or 10 years. We got up to around 65 or 70,000. We stopped counting at that point.
I figured you did.
But we're pretty convinced that the issue isn't how many letters or emails I've received. The question is how many answers are being given to people when they go to God from the space of the purity of their hearts and simply ask a direct question: what, if anything, do I need to know
mm-hmm.
about God, about life, about each other, about who I really am, about my true identity, about how to achieve happiness, peace, joy, and love, contentment here on the earth, and what, if anything, can I do for all those whose lives I touch that could cause divinity to show through me as me in this moment now?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only questions that matter.
Right. That's true. That's true. But I think that you help to maybe put into words someone's truth. Is really how I might put it, how they feel inside, and through your books and through what you've brought forth, it just helps to validate what somebody already knows and what is already feeling. And I think the communications, the letters, and the things that come to you is just letting you know that how remarkable it is to have found someone who is speaking probably what a good many of us were thinking and were confused about. And so, that's partly why I asked that question about how many communications and how many people have reached you. I want to talk for a moment, if I might, Neil, about your website, if you don't mind. I just want to say that, obviously doing the radio show that I do, I visit a lot of websites of a lot of spiritual people. And what I was struck most by when I visited your website was the generosity of your spirit. The fact that you make your teaching so accessible and so available to everyone, I mean, it's very obvious to me that the message is what is the greatest importance to you on the website. It's not about the material aspect of it, but it's about the message. And I really saw the generosity of your spirit. It's reflected in your blog where you spend time and I'm sure your energy answering people's questions and expanding upon your books. There's so many very affordable things. There's the Messenger Circle, the Learning Center, the e-courses, audio seminars and books. And I even see that, I read in your blog even, that even at your events, that 20% of those seated are attending on scholarship, and that you also monitor the cost of any of your lectures or seminars to make sure that they're very reasonable, much lower cost than perhaps other spiritual events. And what I wanted to say is, you've heard the saying, you have to walk the walk to talk the talk. And to me, it's not just the books, but your website itself is a reflection of the love that you are. And the more time that I spent on it, the more, I realized that. And I just wanted to share that with you. It's just an incredible amount, a resource for so many people to connect to your work and very easily connect to your work there on your website.
Well, you know, you're being very kind, and I'm very grateful.
Well, truthful,
that,
really.
Well, I'm grateful that you've had that experience. It makes me feel good. Certainly, that's our intent, and I hope that many people will feel that way. I want people to feel benefited by this message. Millions of lives have been touched by these books. The books have sold over 7.5 million copies worldwide, and we have a tremendous responsibility, I believe, I personally believe, to those readers, to be there for them, to answer your questions as faithfully and as completely as we can, to offer a healing, helping place for them on the website, and mostly to offer them a chance to interact with me on a daily basis, just as you said. You know, when I was a younger man and just moving into the richer part of my life, I was reading a lot of books, and I would think, gosh, I wish I could get to this author, just ask a single question about what he said there on page 37. And when it turned out that I was the author of a book myself that many people were reading, I said immediately to everyone around me at that time, I am going to make myself as accessible as I possibly can to the public, so if they have a question, if they have a concern, if they just want to share a comment, they can do so. They can post it on my forum, my readers forum, and I give them an opportunity to chat with me there and to hear my point of view on things as well. And yes, we've tried to do that as best we can. We have a little virtual community there now where people post their photographs, a little thumbnail picture of themselves, and some statistics, and forming kind of a virtual community of Conversations with God readers worldwide on that internet site. Incidentally, for those people who feel they'd like to maybe visit there and see what it's about, the easiest way to remember the website name without having to worry about spelling of first and last names would be simply ndwhome.com. NDW, of course, for Neil Donald Walsh. ndwhome, H-O-M-E, .com will get you to my homepage. There you'll find a book, a complete book offered free. It's called The Holy Experience. It's a wonderful book. I'm still in the process of writing it.
I saw that, chapter by chapter.
I write a chapter about every 2 weeks, and people have a chance to see that book be created in progress. We offer a lot of other free resources as well. And then for a very modest cost of, I think, $1 a week or something, we offer admission to our messenger circle, and that $1 a week helps us to pay the administrative cost of all that's up there, because it's a very, very sophisticated website requiring almost full-time attendance by a webmaster.
Right. You have some videos on there. Some
videos, there are audios, there's the weekly CWG Weekly Reader that you can get once each week and take a look at, which is not the books, but my comments on the books, 52 separate comments that I put up there once a week. And it's just so much, the website is so content-rich, actually. And I insisted that it be that way when friends of mine said, let's put up a website. I said, okay, well, I want to make sure it's a service to people, that it provides people what they want, which is more comments on and insights about this extraordinarily rich material.
That's true, because it is, it's almost book after book after book after book. Even after reading Happier Than God, I know that it's going to take time to process what I read. I know that I'm going to revisit the book. I know that I've taken some quotes and I've plastered them in a few places around the house. And I think it's really wonderful to be able to connect with the author, to ask some questions, to get some clarification. And I just wanted to, you know, like I said, to me, when I go to your website, I see a generosity of spirit where the message is of the greatest importance, and it's very reflective. And it is a beautiful and wonderful website. And certainly in my newsletter that I sent out, and on the front page of BBS Radio, there's a whole write-up about you, Neil. I don't know if you know about it, but your website information is there as well if anybody wants to grab it from the show info page. Now, let's talk about this Happier Than God, this book. You know, I got a suggestion about your future books, Neil. You want to hear my suggestion?
Yes, I would love to hear it.
Okay. Well, I happen to use a yellow highlighter to make note of what I read that I consider to be notable, of great importance, or something that I want to revisit. And you would be doing me and everybody else a great service if you just simply publish your books all in yellow highlight. That would be great. Would you do that for us? Because I was grabbing for that yellow highlighter. It just, you know, I was getting tired. Everything. Oh, my God, I've got to highlight this. Oh, my God, I've got to highlight that. What I love about this book is, you know, I myself have read many, many books on manifestation, the law of attraction, the power of intention. And I think that this book addressed some lingering questions I had, such as the emphasis on the material things and the idea that people, the other idea that people that have pain in their lives are attracting it via their thoughts. And I think that this particular book really kind of brought to me another understanding or another perspective that kind of answered the questions that, weren't being answered up to that point. And I wanted to ask you, what was your motivation for, actually writing this book?
Well, I saw so many people who were unhappy. I mean, really all around me. And, and I, number one. And that just really, I don't know how to put that. I guess it just bothered me at, one level. I just feel like, you know, I just feel like, gosh, you know, I know life is difficult. I know life is challenging. I know life is hard. But there is a path. There is a way to get to at least a somewhat happier experience than we are all having now. And, and that my first motivation was, gosh, I just want to share with people some specific tools. I realized that in the 9 books of the Conversations with God series, the theoretical conceptual tools are all there. But I have been I asked through the years at workshops, retreats, public appearances, lectures, and so forth, how does that apply? How does that work in daily life? Give us some hands-on tools. And I realized that as I read through the books again that there was a lot of theoretical conceptual stuff there, but not a lot, a few, but not a lot of hands-on tools. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a book of hands-on tools, 17 particular steps, and some preface material before that that explains all about how we can work hand-in-hand with God as our co-creator in producing a life that's happier than it is now. And so I wanted this to be what I call my most practical, hands-on, practical tool guide book in the Conversations with God cosmology. That was my main motivation. And I had, I have to tell you, a sub-agenda beneath that. I felt that people who were watching the movie The Secret or reading many of the other books on the Law of Attraction were, how do I say this, not receiving all of the information that they needed to understand how these wonderful laws of the universe work. And I thought, gosh, you know, I've got to fill in the blanks here. Otherwise, people are going to run off and they're going to try to use, you know, the Law of Attraction as described in The Secret, and they're going to find that it doesn't work except when it does, except when it doesn't. And when it doesn't, they're going to go, what's that all about? I don't understand. And I said to myself, I'm sorry, but as wonderful as the movie was, it left a whole lot of things out, not the least of which is the word God itself. The word God was not mentioned in the movie The Secret until about 3 minutes before the very end, and then just lightly glanced over, almost as if God was an afterthought instead of the source of all of this. So I wrote the book for those two reasons.
I think that you filled in some very important information. I got to say, the 17 steps to being happier than God, if you can, I mean, I think dwell in each one of those steps and think about each one of those steps, but that certainly, to me, it has to make you happier. So many of these things resonate to me in my life. Smile. I love that one.
Isn't that great? Yeah, some of the steps are so simple that you're almost embarrassed to put them into a book, and yet people don't do that. Smile.
Smile.
You know, step number 15, I think. Just smile.
Just smile.
So,
for no good reason.
Smile 5 times a day for no good reason. And watch your life change in 30 days.
Yeah. You know, I notice I put that into action. I smile at people, and even when they're not smiling, and I just put on a big smile when I walk, when somebody's getting out of a car next to me, when I'm walking into a store, I smile at everybody. And it's interesting because they kind of look at you a little strange at first, but then, now eventually people are smiling back at me, which is good. You know, it's working. So I that's something I've always tried to do. But there's so many things. Stay in touch with who you are. You know, I'm a numerologist, and I have to say that my spiritual journey really came through numerology, and then after understanding what I was seeing in numerology, then I began reading a lot of spiritual books. And I think that's one of the things, Conversations with God just really helped to validate that which I saw in numerology. And one point that you bring up in the book, that everything is energy, everything in life is vibrating, and that kind of brings up numerology because, you know, every vibration is measured by numbers, and numbers have esoteric meanings. And you want to say that the process of attraction is simply a matter of adjusting your own energy to match the energy of that which you wish to experience. And three tools of creation, thought, word, and action. And your reality is nothing more than the sum total of your energies and the energies they attract. Well, when I think of the law of attraction and I'm trying to meld it with my experience with numerology, I just believe that all of our souls hold a specific energy and that we attract experiences through our life, which allows us to realize who we really are. You know, like a person that would have six energy would definitely want to attract a warm home and children and family and love and relationships. Someone like myself, I'm a seven, so I'm going to want to attract an hour with Neil Donald Walsh and to have a discussion on things that are spiritual and expanding my own understanding of spiritual philosophy. And my understanding, I mean, I'm not entirely sure if I've got your numbers accurate, but I see, from what I can see from Wikipedia where I got your date of birth, you have some serious nine energy that is really spiritual teacher. And, you know, I really have to say that your work helps to validate what I see in numerology. And when you add in that feeling aspect that you really have to feel it to bring it into your experience. And that really kind of resonates, like being your authentic self, you're going to draw to yourself things that elevate you, that are in alignment with who you are. So I just, you know, I know that numerology is not necessarily your thing, but, you know, this is a different philosophy, but yet everything you say works so beautifully with what I understand, and I wanted to share that with you. And what, do you have any comments even?
Well, truth is truth no matter what the source.
Mm-hmm.
There are 101 ways to get to what is really so,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I know about that. So everyone has their own discipline, their own way of doing it, and what I know is that there are a lot of avenues
mm-hmm.
To eternal wisdom, and numerology, for all I know, may very well be one of them.
Well, I think it's really in alignment with what it is that you're saying, and so that's what I find when I went to spiritual philosophy after knowing what I know about numerology. I just, so much of spiritual philosophy is validated in the numerology, so, you know, it all made perfect and beautiful sense to me. What I want to do, Neil, is we are halfway through the program, and I know that a lot of people they've shut off the phones, obviously, to keep it quiet so we can have our conversation, but I don't want to keep you to myself because that would be selfish. So I would like to open up the lines to our listeners, and I'm sure that many people may want to ask you a question or have a comment for you. So if you don't mind, let me give the numbers. You're listening to Station 1 on BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. My guest this evening is Neil Donald Walsh, and we've been discussing his work and his new book, Happier Than God. And you are more than welcome to call in with your questions and your comments. We would love to hear from you. The toll-free numbers are USA 877-876-5227. You can call toll-free from Canada at 888-815-9756. And you certainly can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. And I want to remind you that when you call in to please speak up. And if you're listening to the program on the Internet, please turn on your speaker so that we don't get any feedback. We would really appreciate that. So, Seth, this is fine to open up the phone lines. So in the meantime, Neil, if you don't mind, we'll hear a beep if somebody calls in. But I do want to, well, somebody did call in, so I guess I'll hold that thought. Hi, who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison and Neil. This is Molly.
Hello, Molly. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm so excited that you have Mr. Walsh on your show. Hi, Mr. Walsh.
Hi, Molly.
I'm glad to hear. I could talk to you for hours. You're a wonderful messenger, and I'm really honored that you're on the show and to get to talk to you. My question is, what do you feel when our physical vessel dies that when we go to the other side, do we meld back into God, or do we continue to be eternally as companions with Him?
Oh, Molly, you know, your question is answered in breathtaking detail in the book Home with God in a Life That Never Ends. Have you had a chance to look at that book yet?
No, sir, I have not. I have your first three or four, I believe.
Well, what I invite you to do, this is the last book. It's the final book in the Conversations with God cosmology. And what I, in the last book in this series, and it's called Home with God in a Life That Never Ends. The answer to your question is far more detailed than I would try to give you here on the telephone. But if you will get that book, you can just go to any one of the online bookstores and have it in your hands in 24 to 48 hours and read that book from cover to, from front to back. You won't be able to put it down, I promise you that. And when you finish, I'm certain you'll have the answer to your question.
Well, great. I appreciate it. I've, as Allison knows, I've been on a spiritual journey for the last 3 years, and that's one of the things that I get, you know, there are a lot of people out there that discuss that, and I'm just curious. But I like you, agree that our religions are outdated. There's a lot to them, but I think that we are progressing as spiritual beings, and I think that we need to upgrade a little bit from that. But it's great to hear you, and I love your books, and I love your messages.
Thank you. Thank you, Molly, very much.
Thanks for calling, Molly.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Neil, I have to make admit something here. As I was going through things, I was like, oh, I need to get that book. That's the one that I have not read. So I'm one ahead and I'm one behind. So you will forgive me, right? I promise.
You'll find it just a fascinating book. It's a fitting end to the 9-book series, the mm-hmm. dialogue series. Mm-hmm. There will be other books, such as Happier Than God, that help explain the series or, as I said, bring us practical tools around it. But the final book in the dialogue is Home with God. And, of course, I asked those questions, those end-of-life questions, and what happens after we leave our mm-hmm. physical vessel, as Molly put it, when we celebrate our continuation day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the book is just remarkable in terms of the insights and the responses that I received.
I'm sure that it is. I do want to say that I got your book, A Little Soul in the Sun, The Children's Parable.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that I read it to my grandchildren. And it was really interesting because my older grandchild was busy on the computer with the webkins as I was reading it to my younger grandson. And all of a sudden she just wandered over and she sat on her mommy's lap and then she... I was reading, and then she was very much in awe of the book and very much avidly listening. So I want to thank you for giving me that experience by creating that book. It was really a wonderful book. Are you going to write more children's books?
Well, there is one more out now.
Is there?
A Little Soul in the Earth.
A Little Soul in the Earth, okay.
And I have a new children's book coming out for this Christmas.
All righty. I will put that on my list. We do have a caller, Neil. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison. It's Terry.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hi, Mr. Walsh. It's such an honor to talk to you tonight.
Well, thank you. It's lovely to be here with you, Terry.
Yeah, and I loved Conversations with God. You know, I think I just wanted to call and thank you for highlighting the humor aspect, because for me, I was raised Catholic, but I'm what I say, a recovering Catholic these days. And I just, there never seemed to be a whole lot of humor, and it's a thing that I appreciate so much about your messages, is that it's not all so serious and maudlin, and that it really is about living life in joy, and that God does have a sense of humor.
Well, she sure does. And
okay.
I've noticed that from the very beginning, and it's been a delight for me. I've always, you know, transcribed the dialogue exactly as I received it, even with the little one-liners and the little quips, which I at first was thinking about. Maybe I should edit those out because that doesn't sound very godly. And then I thought, you know what? This is the dialogue that I received. This is the way it was given to me, and I'm going to put it in the books just exactly this way. Of course, the first book and the first two books were not written as books. They were just received as personal experiences on yellow legal pads. They ultimately became books. Beginning with book three, mm-hmm. The books were deliberately written, I want to say, as books. But the humor, yes, the humor has been a part of my conversation with God from the very beginning. And, you know, as God said in book one, you know, I invented humor. Who do you think invented humor?
That's right.
Why wouldn't I be funny?
That's right. Absolutely.
I think in that book, Neil, didn't you ask God how many lives you had lived, and you asked how many lives you had lived as a woman and God said that you weren't ready to be a woman yet or something along those lines. Because I remember that. I remember laughing out loud when I read that.
Yeah, he said you got a long way to go.
He had a long way to go.
Right.
Well, okay, you'll catch up with us eventually, Neil.
Yes, yes.
I just wanted to say one more comment and I'll hang up because I know I'm sure there's plenty of people trying to get through. But, Mr. Welch, you're an inspiration to me, and I understand from your story that you really braved, you had tremendous courage. You know, I know that just by having watched the story about your life, I'm just in awe of your courageousness, and thank you for carrying the message, such beautiful messages. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very kind to say those things. Thank you for those thoughts and those words and those good energies. I appreciate you very much.
Okay, bless you. Thanks, Allison.
You're welcome, Terry. Wonderful. See,
you know, it doesn't take courage to live your life so much as it, at least in my case, so much as it took just plain stubbornness. I was simply not going to give in or give out. I believed in my parents' messages to me that you never give up and you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and keep on going. Mm-hmm. And I did have a deep belief in the God of my understanding that, you know, it's not supposed to be like this, and I'm betting that if I just keep my, you know, shoulder to the wheel, that something is going to turn up here. And I'm very grateful that I had the strength and the gumption, if not the courage, to just keep on rolling. What listeners may not know what we're talking about here is that I spent a year on the street as a street person. I had fallen through the social welfare system in this country. I had a broken neck in a car accident. I couldn't work. I couldn't lift anything more than 3.5 pounds. And there I was on the street. And so I spent a year on the sidewalk as a street person. That's what that's what's being referred to here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I know. And it's, to me, it's amazing coming from that place to where you are now, and ever so grateful I am that you made that journey and you were as stubborn as you were, thankfully. Okay, I do believe that we have another caller, Neil. Who's calling, please?
Hello, Molly. This is Gail.
Gail?
The Gail that you know.
Hi, Gail, and this is, how are you?
I'm fine.
And I am assuming that you have questions for Neil or comment?
I saw you, Neil, in Chicago last year. And was fascinated with your whole display of your life from the beginning until the time you started talking with God. It was incredible. And I do want to let you know that your hair is just as good as Greg Braden's.
Well, that's saying a lot.
Wow.
Because Greg has got the most beautiful head of male hair I've seen in a long time.
Well, I could see both you and him, and I compared the two of them, and yours was just as good.
Well,
and
thank
I do
you
want
very,
to say, I've read your
day.
Books.
Thank
and
you very
I,
much.
I've really enjoyed them, so I'm going to let somebody else get on and ask a question.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Gail.
Well, there you go. There's a little, I do think your hair is as nice as Greg Braden's.
What's
so
funny about that, of course, is that I always tell a joke that when I was a young man, I used to think that I was my hair.
You did.
Yeah, I mean, I identified with it. It was you know, it was kind of like, you know, I thought I was my hair, and I could, you know, people would have ideas about me based on whether I had a good hair day or a bad hair day, and I was really attached to.
You're pretty attached to your hair.
You know, how my hair looked. Then I got a little older, and I thought, no, it's really my women. That's what it is. People have ideas about me based on who is on my arm and who is not.
Uh-huh.
And then I kind of grew up a little bit, and I said, no, it's my work. It's my job. It's what I do for a living. And I noticed that when I went to cocktail parties and showed up at other places where people were gathered, one of the first things that people say to you, especially guys, is, well, what do you do? So, and then they immediately have a thought about you based on what you do. I tried it out a couple of times. I used to say, well, I'm the editor, which I was at the time. I'm the managing editor of the local newspaper. Oh, well, voila, I was in the inner circle. Then one time I said, I drive a taxi. Nobody talked to me for the rest of the night. So I got very clear that, not that there's anything wrong with driving taxis, because there certainly is not. What I got from the people in the room was that people had thoughts about me based on my job. So I thought it was my hair. Then I thought it was my car. At one point when I was 19, I thought, you know what? I'm my car. And I had all these exterior signs and signals that I used to use to kind of measure what other people or how other people thought of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell that joke in front of the lecture room, which is, well, I'm sure why Gail brought it up. because I always say, you know, even sometimes these days, I still think I'm my hair. If I have a bad hair day, I'm not happy.
Well, then I would point you to step two, which is stay in touch with who you are, right?
That's right. that's exactly right. And, you know, and it's humorous, and it's funny, and it's true as well.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I watched that video on your website, the free video, where you're doing a little bit of a discourse about McDonald's, eating meat on Friday in the Catholic Church, and some of the craziness there. You're a very funny guy. You had me, I mean, I was drinking my coffee, and I was just, oh, I'll listen to this video. It'll help to enlighten me and get in touch with his energy for the interview. And I got to tell you, I spit my coffee out. I was laughing. And you are very funny. You have a really wonderful, I mean, I absolutely have to come see you because I just, your presentation was just fabulous, and people were cracking up. Great sense of humor there, Neil.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're more than your hair. By far. I do want to take a moment, Neil. I don't even think that in this short amount of time that we have that we can even begin to cover Happier Than God and what this book means. And I apologize for, in your scope of work, certainly it can't be covered in such a short amount of time. But I did want to take a moment here and at least touch upon your upcoming appearances, if you don't mind, you know, just kind of throw it out there for people. That you're, it seems to me you're going to be everywhere, not only in the United States, but I see that you're going to be presenting spiritual workshops all over the globe in British Columbia, Mexico, Argentina, the Netherlands, Scotland, Germany, Denmark. How does it feel to be a citizen of the world?
Well, I'm humbly grateful.
Yeah.
You know, it's number one, I am on a personal level just so overjoyed to be able to bring this message to people everywhere. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I'm very, very happy that people everywhere seem to want to hear this message. Mm-hmm. And what I notice is that people everywhere, it doesn't matter whether we're talking, in fact, about South America or Northern Europe or the Far East, or it doesn't really matter. Everyone, it turns out, in the end, wants the same thing. One, we want to find a way to recreate ourselves anew. I'm sure that most people believe and understand clearly that life is not proceeding the way we intended it. Mm-hmm. There's got to be another way. There's got to be a better way. And
right.
There is, and people are searching for that, deeply searching for that, a new way to relate to each other, a new way to relate to ourselves,
right.
And surely a new way to relate to this thing that many of us call God.
Right.
So people everywhere want that peace and that sense of harmony and that sense of well-being that comes from those outcomes, and that's what I'm noticing wherever I go around the globe. It's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll talk to people in all these many places, sometimes through a translator, sometimes you know, with my own home language of English. And but whatever we do, people seem to be welcoming these wonderful messages, and I'm just very grateful.
Right. Well, it's amazing your lineup of things that you have scheduled. I mean, you're going to be in Phoenix, April 19th, which is what, in next weekend or weekend after next, Chicago, May 3rd and 4th, in Mexico City, the 16th through the 18th, on and on and on it goes. And so I encourage anyone that's wanting, oh, no, and I was wondering if you could pack me in your luggage for the Alaskan cruise. That would be nice. I'm sure I would fit in a carry-on. Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, that's my vacation. I take a vacation. Some people think, why is he doing, if he's a God, man of God, why is he doing a cruise?
Yeah.
And the truth is that once a year I take 5 days off, or seven.
And you take all these people along with you?
Yeah, the truth is it's my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful opportunity for me to get close to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to people, you know, if you want a vacation with me, come on along. Let's have some fun together.
Right.
We'll set aside a few hours to talk about the work. We'll talk about the material. We'll talk about your lives. We'll also set aside some time to play together,
mm-hmm.
To meet and talk on a personal level, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have a wonderful opportunity there. And I do it every year. It's always a wonderful year, a wonderful week.
Mm-hmm.
And people say to us, many people have said to us through the years now, we've been doing this now 7 or 8 years, that's the best vacation I ever took.
Do you go to Alaska every year?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Every single year we've gone there, and people just love it. It's, you know, the if you haven't done the inland passageway in Alaska, you're missing something. It's a once-in-a-lifetime adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And to spend 30 hours in program material with me, about 27 hours, actually, and then
wow.
a few other moments of private conversation in the lounges and so forth. We just have a wonderful time. You know, if people want to know more about that, they just need to go to my website at ndwholm.com. Click on the Alaska Cruise icon, and you'll learn all about it.
Right, and there's plenty more other opportunities to connect to you on your website. They go on, and, you know, I give you a lot of credit for the amount of travel and effort and time that you put into this. I was reading 12-hour days, Neil. You got to take a nap once in a while, don't you? okay, I have one. We're coming up on just having a few minutes here. We actually have about four. And I know, as I said, no way to touch the scope of what is contained in Happier Than Gone. But I did really enjoy the part of the book that is talking about, you know, when we have things in our world that create pain and grief, and that this is part of the collective consciousness, and there is a relationship between that and the suffering in the world. And, you know, talking about our energy and raising our consciousness and using that energy to change the world. And the question lies, what can I do as one single person to help change the world? What can one person do?
I've been asked that question many, many, many times. And I give a lot of answers to it, and I've got kind of an unorthodox answer to give to it, really. It may seem even a bit selfish. I don't mean it to be selfish, but it's one of the things that I would do if I could. Give your insights and your understanding and your wisdom to others at any time that you have an opportunity to do so. In other words, decide that you yourself are the messenger. I don't mean go out and proselytize, not talking about that. I don't mean, you know, become overbearing and trying to intrude upon other people's private space, but you will be surprised if you make a decision. I am the messenger of the new spirituality. I am the source in the lives of all those whose lives I touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I choose to play that role now. I choose to be that now. And I don't even know how it's going to look. I don't even know what it's going to be like in a few days. But I do know, like kind of like, you know, build it and they will come. I know that if I choose to build this part of myself, they will come. People will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll be able to catch the energetics of it. And situations will occur in my life when I'll have an opportunity to share of all the deep insight and wisdom that I possess and that is mine to share. So I just invite people, step into messengership. That's what you can do to change the world. People say, well, how will that change anything? You know, I promise you, if each one of us, and this is not so far-fetched, if each one of us talk to 20 people in the next month, and again, I don't mean about proselytizing, I mean just sharing this message and making it accessible to others, mm-hmm. talk to them about Conversation with God or any other new spirituality text or book that has caught your eye that you think might be helpful to others, just simply share. If all the folks who are listening to this program right now did nothing more than that, we'd be touching 25,000 people within a week. It's just as simple as that.
Right.
And don't think that those kinds of energy shifts don't affect the world, because they absolutely do in profound ways.
Wow. Well, that is a really wonderful way to end the program, Neil. Truly it is the message that we all can have play a part in this. And I also like the fact that you say often that we all are messengers. I have to end the show, and I really don't want to. I can't believe how quickly this hour went. And I want to thank everyone that was listening this evening, those of you that called in. And, Neil, I really want to thank you personally for taking the time out of what I know is a busy schedule to be on the show. But just like the messages that we heard from the people that called in tonight, and probably most importantly, I want to thank you for the wisdom that you've shared with us and certainly for the work that you do. I mean, I myself cannot, the wisdom that you've shared with me and the understanding and the shift even in my perception. I'm just one person, but it's been an amazing journey reading your books, and I really want to thank you for that, Neil. Thank you for being with us tonight. I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. Perhaps we'll do it again sometime.
Wonderful. You're always, my house is your house, always.
Thank you, my friend.
All righty. Thanks, everyone, and good night. And as always, be blessed, and I wish you abundant blessings. I'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.